Easter weekend, which was a few weekends back, we began to talk about this idea of coming to see who God is so we can begin to discover who God says that we are. And we're going to continue through that thought process today. We're going to continue that teaching series today. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to open it up to John chapter 9. And we'll start there in John chapter 9 and verse 1 here in a few minutes and begin this journey we have been going on as a church family. Now, the Bible says something very remarkable in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, and he was created before all things, and he created all things. He made all things. He was the creator of everything. And so, again, he is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, it's God coming close to us so we can begin to discover what it means to be in a relationship with our creator. And then as we begin to discover that, we can go on a journey with him and discover who he has made us to be. But if we look at the life of Jesus, the life of Christ, up close and personal, Jesus is basically revealing to us as humans, you know, what all God has in store for us and how to enter into this relationship and discover our God-given potential. And when we see all these stories and Jesus doing all of these miracles and all these amazing things, it's to reveal something to us. God is about revealing himself to us. God is about bringing revelation into our heart of who he is. And as we begin to enter in this relationship, he begins to share with us who we are. And so we as a church family love to invite people to come and see who Jesus is, because we honestly believe as you begin to glean into who he is, he's going to begin to tell you who you are, and you're going to step into that and walk fully in it and become all he has designed you to be. We're going to look at a story today where Jesus had an encounter with a man here in John chapter 9. So let's read through the story. The Bible says this: as Jesus was walking along after he had had some confrontation with a group of people, the Bible said all of a sudden he saw a man who had been blind from birth. And his students who were traveling with him, his disciples, they asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? In other words, whose problem caused this man to be blind is what they asked Jesus. And Jesus responds with this answer: it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. In other words, this man has encountered a problem. You're trying to define where this problem originated from. But what I want you to know is, though the man has a problem, God's power is going to show up through this man's life. And so Jesus says this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. That's a unique way to look at your problems, isn't it? Is I have a problem so God can show up that he is the solution. The Bible says that it was because, you know what, God could be seen. And then Jesus goes, we must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and quickly, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then the Bible says he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he told the man, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent in the scriptures. So the man went and he washed and he came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the one. In other words, God has touched my life and changed my life. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud. He spread it over my eyes, and he told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went, and I washed, and guess what? Now I can see. Where is he now, they asked. I don't know, he replied. And then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders that Jesus had had a confrontation with and had triggered a response out of them. The Bible goes on to say, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and he healed him, so they took him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, he put mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. And so this encounter that Jesus has with this man in front of his disciples and all the other people who saw this is very revealing to us about something God is doing in our life right here and right now. And so Jesus is transforming not only the man's eyesight, he's transforming how his disciples saw problems and all the people around him begin to see life. Keep this in mind. He's transforming how people look at life. Because Jesus had been having a lot of debate with the spiritual leaders of that day about a lot of the cans and can'ts, what you can do and what you can't do. And they were arguing back and forth with Jesus. Go read some of these encounters in John chapter 8 before we get to John chapter 9. They were going back and forth to Jesus. And, you know, and Jesus was talking to them and talking to them about God showing up and doing powerful things and the light coming into the world and all of these kind of things. But these people were rejecting what Jesus was doing and they were debating Jesus, and Jesus is transforming now how they look at things. He's transforming how they see things. He's beginning to say to them, stop looking at what you can do and can't do and consider what God can do. See, what he's saying to them is consider not the problem, but consider the solution to the problem that's standing right in front of you. Because the disciples were focused on the problem. The Pharisees and the spiritual leaders of that day were focused on the problem. And what Jesus does is he takes mud, he puts it on the man's eyes, tells the man to go wash in the pool. Now the man can see. And Jesus proceeds to teach that, you know what, when you focus on problems, most of the times those problems overtake your life. But when you focus on the solution to the problem, though you may be in the dark, light can come in and then you can begin to do amazing things with your life. So God wants you to focus on what he can do, not just what you can do. But we fixate ourselves on the problem, don't we? Oftentimes, what we talk to God about is the problem. And we continue to talk about the problem. And there's nothing wrong with admitting the problem and talking about the problem and bringing your requests before God about the problem. Nothing wrong with that. But when our focus gets on the problem and not on the solution to the problem, we begin to basically go into a downward spiral. How do I know this? Because I've done this myself. I've sat in groups of people and groups of people that were going through processes, and all we did was focus on our problems and we never brought up the solution to our problems and what he could do in the midst of our problem. And we just go in a downward spiral and we go backwards. In other words, God don't want you to focus on who you used to be. He wants you to focus on who you can be. Come on. But why do we do that? Because the enemy of your soul and my soul wants us to camp out in the problem. And if we can camp out in the problem, he can defeat us from our potential. Yes. He can begin to hold us back. And so God wants you to see differently. He touches this man's life, not only so the man could see physically, but so those around him could see differently. Stop focusing on where this originated from and focus on the one who can change it in a moment. Jesus is standing right in front of the man. And everybody's focusing on the problem. Jesus, where did this man get this problem from? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus says, has it ever occurred to you? Neither one of those things. It's so that. Everybody say so that. That's a purpose clause. Your problem may have a so that with it. It's so that the power of God can show up through his life. Look at this, and impact somebody else's life. It wasn't just about the man seeing with his eyes. It was about the man seeing with his eyes and what that did to the people around him. It began to show them that, you know what, it doesn't matter where the problem originated from. There's a God that can step in the middle of the problem, no matter whose sin it is, and he can change it in a moment if somebody will learn to see differently. So today, we want to see differently. We want to open our eyes to what God can do and not just the problem itself. And so I wrote down a few notes about this. We have to learn to see into the future a little bit, and we have to learn to see the possibility instead of the problem. There's always possibility. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. So the essence of faith is this. It's no matter what is going on, you're believing that something is possible out in front of you with God in your life. So no matter what the problem is, having faith is believing that God can step in to that problem and create possibility out in front of the problem for your life. And that doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to fix the problem that we have in our brain and our mind the way we think it's going to be fixed. But God is going to do an amazing thing to bring us above the problem. See, possibility is seeing beyond the problem. It doesn't deny that there's an issue. It doesn't deny that there's a challenge, but it's having faith that God is bigger than the challenge. I love the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was one of the younger brothers of many more brothers. He was the second to the youngest in his family. And, you know, Joseph had a dream. Anybody here ever had a dream before? Joseph had a dream. In other words, God spoke to his heart and he shared that dream with his brothers. And God showed him that he was going to be a leader one day. And he shared the dream with his brothers and his brothers became jealous of the dream. And the Bible says that one day they were out working and they decided to throw Joseph in a pit. Because Joseph had a dream in his heart. Problem. Pits are a problem. But Joseph still understood the possibility of what God could do. Joseph didn't complain about being in the pit. All of a sudden, some foreigners came by and his brothers decided to sell Joseph as a slave to the foreigners. The foreigners take Joseph away. The brothers go back, lie to the father about what happened to Joseph, said some animal must have got him and killed him and took his clothes over there and said all this stuff. And so they were like, we got rid of Joseph and we sold him into slavery. And Joseph was sold into slavery and he was put in an official's house where the official's wife made an accusation against Joseph that was untrue. She said that Joseph had raped her. This made the husband mad, okay? And the husband got mad and threw Joseph into a dungeon, into a prison. False accusation, that's a problem. But Joseph remained to believe in the possibility of God in spite of the problem. He was in a pit, he was in a dungeon, he was in a jail cell. And as he was in that jail cell, he made some friends in there that eventually began to betray him as they went before a king. But even though Joseph was betrayed, he was lied about, he was accused, he was hated by his brothers were jealousy, and he had problem after problem after problem after problem. He kept the dream of God in his heart and believed that all things are possible with God. He didn't know how he was going to get out of those situations. He didn't know how he was going to get out of those circumstances. But by faith, he knew who God had called him to be. And he knew God could show up in the problem. So what Joseph never did was dishonor anybody in the process. He didn't blame others for his problems. He believed God, and he trusted God by faith. See, that's what faith does. Faith don't dishonor those around it. Faith believes that God is bigger than anything that comes in its way and believes in the possibility. The Bible says that Joseph interpreted the king's dream. He became second in charge of all of Egypt. His brothers came to him, and Joseph forgave his brothers and brought them into this new kingdom. Amazing, because he was a leader. But not only was he a leader and second in charge of this foreign land that God had put him in by the way of problems, he rose up and he became the leader of his family in the way God designed him to be the leader, and it was to serve his family so his family could know who God was. See, there's always a possibility in the problem. But if your focus is, oh, I'm in a pit. Oh, they betrayed me. Oh, I'm in a prison and falsely accused. Oh, I'm in this situation and that situation. That's focusing on the problem. But if you begin to shift your focus, shift your spirit, and see a God who says that all things are possible with him, then you will begin to rise above the problem and see the possibility. Stop living in the problem. It doesn't deny the problem, but there's always a possibility with God. I remember when my wife and I were first called into ministry. I gave my life to the Lord, surrendered my life to the Lord, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 32. Heard about him a lot as I was a kid growing up. Searching. And then once I entered into this relationship, I didn't really understand a whole lot, but God was nudging me in my heart, opening my eyes of my heart, opening my spirit up to say, I'm calling you towards ministry. My friend, I didn't know what that meant. But I'm like, okay, God, you're calling me towards ministry, and I've got to maybe figure out how to get some form of education in order to fulfill this calling. So all I knew was a couple of ministries in the church that I came from, because I was new at this thing. There was a preacher, and there was a song leader, and I knew the one I wasn't. Was a song leader, okay? But I felt God was nudging me into ministry, and so we thought, well, we'll go visit seminaries and do this thing. So we went off and we started visiting different schools to begin to learn a little bit more about God's word and be able to do what we felt like God was calling us to do. Didn't know the full extent of all of that. But we got on an airplane, flew around, and began to visit, my wife and I, visit different places, different schools, graduate schools. And as we did, we went to this one particular seminary that as we stepped into the cafeteria and we had a luncheon with all these, I guess what we call them, like prospective students or whatever, prospects. We were one of those prospects. We go into this cafeteria and one of the professors gets up and begins to give this grand speech. And we're sitting there. And again, I'm just trying to figure it all out. God, you're nudging my heart towards something. And the professor said, he said this, if you did this, a list of about 50 things, he says, God's probably, speaking to the crowd, God's probably not calling you into ministry. You probably had bad pizza last night and just thought God was calling you into ministry. And again, my heart began to sink because God had begun to open my heart, my eyes to being a part of what he's doing in the world. And I felt like he was calling me into this and calling me to get an education. And so as I heard this, I was defeated and I left that room that day. And my wife and I, we went and sat on some steps on that campus. And as we sat on those steps on that campus and we were talking about this situation and circumstance, oh man, maybe we've made a mistake and this is not what we're called to do, because that list he just listed, I did all those things. And so I must have had bad pizza. And a man and his wife, never seen them before and never seen them after. They were walking down the sidewalk at the base of these steps, and the man and his wife walked up the steps, and he just looked at me and said, you kind of, in this form or fashion, he says, you kind of look defeated. He says, I want to declare to you what God has called you to do. He will equip you to do what he's called you to do. How that man knew that I was in a defeated state and in that position, I don't know today. But again, that was a confirmation for me that God was calling me in. And then I had the audacity to go begin to read through the scriptures and look at some of the people through the scriptures that God used in a powerful way that did this, 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 and this, and this, and how God had stepped into their life. Listen to this. Transformed their life. And because he had transformed their life, he was calling them to step up into some form of administrating who he is in the earth. I need you to know that's what ministry is. Ministry is administrating who God is in the earth. Oh, but understand that all of us who were rescued by Christ, that is the possibility with our life, because he calls us all to administrate, listen, who he is in the earth. I had no idea I was gonna be stepping into being a vocational pastor and leader of a church for the last 20 years when all this went down, but I chose to believe that all things are possible with God, and God can step into my life and transform my life in the middle of all this problem and what somebody else said. I want you to know today, if God has touched your heart, he's called you out of something and he's calling you into something, don't you let the past or what other people say defeat you from what God is calling you to. God qualifies you to step, listen to me, fully into what he's called you to do. Every single one of us. And so many of us believe what somebody else says instead of what God says. God saves you and calls you to a set apart calling. What does that mean? That ain't just for the guy up here with the microphone. That's for you and that's for me. His word is alive, and God will do what he says he'll do, and he'll step into you and make all things possible if you will step in with him and do what he's designed you to do. Which leads me to the next point. You know what? We can continue to focus on the problem, or as Jesus said, understand the problem is to show God's power. Because Jesus said this man was blind in order to show God's power. And so is your focus on the power of God, or is it on your challenge or your problem? I love this passage because the man, he had a desire to see God's power at work in his life where everybody else was talking about his problem. But what leads me into knowing that this man believed in what Jesus said about him is he participated with what God was doing in his life. This is crucial. Some people never see the power of God in their life because they don't participate with what God's doing. Jesus is doing a miracle here. Jesus picks up dirt, spits on the dirt, puts it on the man's eyes, but he tells the man, now you go and wash, participate with what I'm doing. You know what God's doing in the earth today? He's making himself known, listen to this, through the church. God the church, the called out ones, the people of God, the ones who have been called out of darkness into wonderful light, they are God's vessel to reveal who God is in the earth. That's you and that's me. If we believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ on a cross and what he's done and he's resurrected from a grave, God is inviting you to participate. Look at this man, John chapter 9, verse 7. Jesus told him, you need to go wash yourself in the pool. And when you wash yourself in the pool, the Bible says the man went and washed and he came back seeing. Do you see what God can do? Do you see his power? God's power is revealed in your gift, in the spiritual gift he gives you. Jesus is a gift to humanity for salvation. And as Jesus forgives you of your sin, and forgives you on a cross and resurrects from a grave. When you put your faith in the forgiveness that Jesus offered through his blood sacrifice, the Bible says that now you can come into the holy presence of God. But when you step into the holy presence of God, make no bones about it, God gives you what the Bible refers to as a spiritual gift. It's not just a talent. It's not just a way for you to get better. It's a gift. But what most people misinterpret is it's not a gift just for them. It's a gift for them to use to help each other and the body grow up into what it's designed to be. See, the body is the church. That's you and me. And the way we participate is we use our gift in the church. And when we participate and we use our gift in the church, then the church starts getting built up in its faith and begins to show the power of God to the community. It's amazing. But see, again, it's not stepping into somebody else's gift, stepping into your gift and where God's placed you and planted you, and you get in that gift and you walk in that gift, and that gift gets stronger and stronger and stronger and more powerful, but that gift can't exist by itself because it needs the other gifts beside it in order for it to become great and manifest the power of God. Some people say, man, I wanna see the power of God show up in my life. My first question is, well, how are you participating with what God's doing in the earth? Let me say that again. You wanna see the power of God show up in your life? How are you participating with what God's doing in the earth? Through the local church, making his glory known. What are you doing? Are you stepping into it? Again, if you don't know how God wants to use you, begin to ask him. See, I believe that God created you and created me so we could be in relationship with him, so we could manifest his presence into the earth. And again, he's doing it through you and he's doing it through me as we're coming together and God's glory is showing up in the midst of all kinds of problems. And the way his glory is showing up in the midst of problems is every person participating in the way that God intends for us to participate. And we gotta step into it, build each other up. The Bible says God has given you a spiritual gift for doing certain things well. Doing things great. See, if my gift is to lead the local congregation, I wanna do it as good as I can do it. And with the empowerment of God in my life. And what I know is in my own strength, I don't do a very good job. But when I let him flow in and begin to flow out, it begins to empower other people to step in to who he's created them to be. And my job is to build up your faith. My job is to help you believe that God is who he is and you are who he says that you are, and invite you to step into it and use your gift to serve the community so the power of the living God can show up in somebody's life and begin to change their life. Because God manifests himself. He manifests himself through his people. God loves to work with his creation. See, understand this. God, Jesus, could have spoke to the man's problem and never picked up mud and put it on the man's eyes and spit in the mud. But God loves to begin to reveal who he is through the means of what he's created. And you're part of his creation. Do you believe that there is still possibility? Do you believe that there is power in the living God when you use your gift? And do you see the potential of the local church when God's people participate and do what God intends for them to do? And again, the Bible says this in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1-3. I love this because God loves to reveal himself through what he's created, and humanity is the crown of his creation. But the Bible says this: the heavens proclaim the glory of the Lord. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. That's the creation. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all of the world. And so this is very revealing in what God does. He loves to speak through the means of what he created. Did you know the Bible says he foreknew you before you were ever in your mother's womb? God knit you together and formed you in your mother's womb, and he thought about the days of your life. He knew every problem you would face, and he knew every possibility that he would create if you would step into the relationship and begin to let him shine through your life. My friend, the power of God is living. The power of God is strong. But the power of God is manifested through our worship of giving all of ourselves to him. It's coming to see him for who he is. He's a set apart God. He's a most holy God. That's why when Jesus says, learn to pray, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, set apart be your name. A kingdom come here in the earth as it is in heaven. In other words, he says, invite God to come into the earth and be in the earth and work through you. And so God wants the world to see who he is, and how he's manifesting himself in the world today is through you and me. Come and see. It's the invitation that God gives through Jesus. It's the invitation he gives through his church. But the question is will you have the faith to open your eyes and begin to see the light of Christ? The light of Christ is there to begin to help us step forward and fulfill our God potential. My friend, God is inviting you into this today. And again, he's not inviting you just to sit and watch. He's inviting you to step up and become all he's created you to be. It's cool to come check out a church. It's cool to come worship with a congregation. All that's good, and you know, seeing if this is a good place for you to fit. But I want you to ask God this question. God, how do you want to use me in what you're doing in this group of people? Because I do believe the moment you begin to ask God how you want to use me in the group of this people is when the power of God begins to show up in your life. Because you realize that we're here to serve you and you're here to serve us, and here together we're here to serve the world, and we work together for the common good of what God is doing. It's an amazing thing to be used by God. It's an amazing thing to see God's power manifested through a group of people and begin to show up in a powerful way and transform a community. I believe that God is gonna open the eyes of the blind and help people see in these latter days. I believe that the local church is really God's vessel and hope that he has in this earth to help people see who he is. I know the world is screaming a different message, my friend, but God is saying, would you come and see? And the church needs to submit itself to his authority, come underneath his authority, operate in its gift mix, and invite the world to come and see who God is. And God is going to show back up and reveal completely who he is in the return of Christ. My friend, God's inviting you into this grand scheme. But the question is will you step into it and be who he's created you to be? Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. And God, as you invite us to come and see, I pray we would step into it. Step into our full God potential. Be all you have created us to be. And God, if there's one here today that hasn't put their faith in the finished work of Jesus, may today be the day that you manifest who you are, Jesus. You're God in the flesh. You gave your life on a cross. You resurrected from a grave so that they could come back to you. My friend, it's a gift that God wants to offer you. You just need to put your faith and step towards the gift and begin to watch God do a mighty work in your life. Jesus, you're great. You're magnificent. May you help us all step fully into who you've created us to be and be transformed into your likeness. We pray this today in your most holy and precious name. Amen.